Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
We are just looking at some of those cumulonimbus clouds out there. That is definitely not how you say that, but I came close. Nimbo cumulus clouds? What would you call those dark fluffies out there, Chad?
I don't know, man. Stratus?
They're definitely not stratus or cirrus. Well, there's a couple of maybe, you know, thin ones up there. They're just the type of clouds that tell you, hey, we can ruin your day in a little bit.
It's a Colorado summer cloud,
yeah.
Which means it's going to rain someplace, somewhere in Colorado,
right.
Probably wherever you're at,
right.
And you got something to do.
Like, the sky's blue, just everything's perfect, and
it's a little cloud of anger going by, dropping rain on you.
Tonight is the home run derby.
Do you
like watching the home run derby?
I do. I've always have. You know, the little kid in you, when you go play baseball, you're not trying to be a singles hitter. No one's like, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like Rod Carew. No. You know, you always want
reference.
You want to go for the home runs. So
you don't want to be a switch hitting slappy?
Perfecting a little slap hit? No.
Rod Carew perfected it from both sides of the plate. Slappy, slap a lot from either side.
Tiny little strike zone, little compact stance.
No, you want to, boom!
Yes. So the home run derby appeals to the kid in all of us. I am happy that back is no longer part of it.
Yes, Chris had his time.
Yes. But I enjoy it. Even if I can't catch it all, I usually will DVR it and speed my way through it later on.
The format is much better, too, because it's a time thing. So inevitably, it's just going to end, you know.
Like all things, yes.
when it's supposed to. There's a prescribed ending. One of the two worst things in All-Stars were the unlimited amount of dunks you used to got. I think Chris Anderson is still trying to throw down a dunk.
Yes.
That was the most embarrassing thing of all time, when the Birdman could not throw down a dunk. Big Sex, you remember that? You remember just painfully watching, you know, the Birdman trying to throw down some sort of dunk? It was awful.
Yeah, I was underneath that hoop.
No, you were not. Seriously?
I was ball boying that event.
Oh, nice.
I got to pull up the old YouTube.
So how is that just inches away from it?
I mean, it was funny for the first 2.5 minutes, and then
brutal,
it just got embarrassing.
It?
You just kind of wanted it to end.
I was just thinking, like, at what point does he just throw down a tomahawk and walk off the court?
At some point, you got it, right?
He didn't quit because the rules were bad. The rules allowed him to do what he was doing.
That's stupid.
And they changed the rules of the home run derby. It's much better now. It's much more interesting now. I mean, like, there were ridiculous moments, like when Josh Hamilton hit like 100 home runs and didn't win the home run derby. It was just stupid. It was awesome. Like, everybody remembers how unbelievable Josh Hamilton was. Well, he did not win the home run derby that year.
Because he got all his numbers in the earlier rounds.
Yeah, he hit 30 home runs in like the semifinals or something.
Right,
and
so you wasted them, kind of thing.
He totally wasted them.
And he had nothing left.
That
happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's a workout, man, to swing a bat and hit a ball. Never mind there's a natural amount of adrenaline doing this thing. Nolan's hitting second tomorrow night in the All-Star game. We got Bryce Harper hitting six. That's interesting.
It is.
Wow. That's interesting.
Clean up. Matt Kemp.
Yeah, it's in Washington. Who's the manager of the National League team? Do we know off the top? Dave Martinez of the Dodgers? Wait. Yeah, right? Am I getting that right? Yeah. Huh. You don't hit Bryce Harper leadoff? So the hometown hero can get up as many times as humanly possible in... I just hit Bryce Harper, second at the worst. Hit him sixth.
Is it a slap in the face to hit ninth in an All-Star game?
No. God, no. You're in the All-Star game. Way to go. No, it's definitely not a slap in the face.
You're just the worst hitter amongst the All-Stars.
You're in the starting lineup. You were voted there by the fans. Millions and millions of people voted for you. You're awesome.
Okay.
No, it's not an insult. I'm just looking at Bryce Harper specifically because the game's in D.C., that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the game was in Colorado and the National League manager put Nolan sixth, wouldn't that, you know, be kind of weird?
It would be, yeah, I agree.
Maybe, yeah, it's crazy. No, whatever, it's the All-Star game. More interesting, the Home Run Derby or the All-Star game?
Home Run Derby.
Well, see, that's a problem. That's why Keith Olbermann suggested a competition. You have four teams of 18. Team one plays two. Team three plays four for three innings each. And then the winners play each other for innings 7, 8, 9.
With a winner-take-all pot.
And if it's tied, you put a runner on second, California tiebreaker, let's get this thing done.
Yeah.
When the All-Star game wrapped up a few years ago and ended in a tie, because they ran out of pitching. It was one of the most embarrassing things of all time. It is a brainer to do a California tiebreaker in extra innings in an All-Star game.
I agree.
They do it in the World Baseball World Baseball Classic.
Sports should never end in a tie. Ever, 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 ever. Nor should they go on forever either in hopes to not have a tie. There needs to be, at some point, a tiebreaker system in place that speeds this thing up so we're not there for 7 hours.
I caught something going down my throat the wrong way. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts. See, I felt I was saying it wrong, but you were wrong, and I was right and wrong at the same time.
You gonna make it?
I don't know.
You're dying over there, homeboy.
Zach's chiming in. Crazy stat, Bryce Harper is hitting 60 points lower than the next NL batter on the All-Star team.
But he's worth $400 million.
Who cares, man? All right, Zach, I got you. Zach, Mr. Freaking Google Britannica there. Smartest guy in the world. Do you guys not understand what All-Star games are all about?
Who's you guys?
Well, maybe not you, but Zach Bye. He's literally hitting .214. Should we go through the importance of batting average versus power versus OPS versus WAR? Should we break it all down? Bryce Harper is definitely struggling. He's also a former MVP. So, you know, cut him some slack. And the game's in Washington.
Question from the text line. What is the California tiebreaker?
We've simple.
Got a short version of it. Give it to us.
Oh, it's you go into an extra inning,
mm-hmm.
And you start the inning with a runner on second, nobody out. That's
easy.
It.
Okay.
There's nothing to it. I think there's some versions of it where you start with a runner on second and there's one out, which is a more reasonable way to play it. It's as if, you know, guy gets a base hit, next guy bunts, one out, runner on second, let's go. But there's a higher likelihood of him scoring from second with no outs rather than one out.
Right.
I mean, it's an easy, you know, strategy to score that guy. The first guy up, bunts, runners at third, and then there's 10 million ways to get a runner home from third with one out. It's a little bit, you're going to lengthen the possibilities of the game if you put the runner on second with one out. You know, it's less likely he scores.
Right.
A runner on second with no outs should score 75% of the time. I mean, literally to score one run with a runner on second and no outs is a bunt and a ground ball to second. If you have a team that can't bunt and hit a ground. Now, obviously, it's a little bit more interesting if you're the away team rather than the home team. You know as the home team what you have to do.
Right.
You know, obviously that's an advantage for you, but, you know, whatever.
They still got to score.
Yeah, I mean, literally, if you're in a California tiebreaker and somehow you shut out the team, like that run doesn't score, and now you're the home team, if you don't just bunt twice, you're an idiot as a coach.
Well, I'm sure that will come up at some point.
You would bunt to get him to third,
right.
And then your next guy would bunt and safety squeeze and get him home.
Right.
And you win. you realize, like, bunting is, like, the easiest thing to do in baseball.
I thought you hated bunting because they do it too much in softball.
They slap in softball. They do slapping. They run through the box and slap. They don't even... It's slappy. slap a lot.
I've seen it.
Yeah, you know, I'm off that a little bit. It's just a strategy of the sport of softball, so... Fine, whatever. You know,
nice.
it just looks dopey, but, you know.
One last thing for you to hate. This is good.
I don't hate it. I understand it now as a strategic part of a goofy-looking game.
All right, because once upon a time you hated it. Now this is good.
Wow, okay. I guess I'm growing.
Yeah, maturity.
I like girls who get up there and just freaking smack that ball over the fence. The fence is only 200 feet, you know, long. Just 200 feet, you're playing on a little league field.
It's a big, heavy ball.
I can keep that. No, it's like there's complicated things in sports, and then there's things that are simple in sports.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh. California tiebreaker is simple. I got that.
Well, bunting is simple.
Okay.
Anybody should be able to bunt. I mean, it takes almost no skill to bunt, and it's amazing how many times people screw it up. Because they overthink it. Kind of back to your do your job sort of thing.
Right.
There's nothing to think about. You square around. You hold the bat at eye level with the handle of the bat lower than the barrel of the bat, if you can picture that. Because if you tilt it the other way, guess where the ball's going to go? I mean, I don't want to break down the, you know, the physics of this whole thing, Chad. But, you know, the bat handle's slightly down. The barrel's up. You put the bat at eye level, and then you move up and down with your knees. You don't move the bat up and down. You just move up and down with the knees. You set the bat at the top of the strike zone, and if the ball is lower than your bat, you move down. If the ball is higher than your bat, you know, you take the bat back. It's so easy to do. It stuns me that more people don't know, you know, can't do it.
All right, next year on your birthday, I need you to... do a bunting competition. See if you can direct your bunts where you need them to go. 10 of them.
You get a pitching machine and fire it up to 95 miles an hour, and I'll throw down bunts left and right. It'll be easy. I could bunt from a wheelchair. I could bunt,
ooh,
which would be illegal to do. But as decrepit as my health may be or whatever state of infirmary I happen to be in, I promise you I could bunt.
Effectively.
Sure.
Directional bunting.
Pointed to the right, it goes to first base. Pointed to the left, it goes to third base.
All right.
Duh. I mean,
I expect to see video next year on your birthday.
I mean, okay. I have nothing. It's nothing athletic.
This is the new Festivus, is to do feats of strength on your birthday.
You know what, dude? Here's what I can show you. I can show you how to bunt if you're dying to see me bunt, and I can head a ball into a net with my head on a corner kick.
I'm looking forward to this.
There's nothing to it.
All right.
Okay.
All the soccer fans, they texted me for 2 days.
That's because soccer fans have this gargantuan chip on their shoulder that they can't admit stupid things about the sport they love. If you can't, can you admit stupid things about football?
Yes.
Good. Give me something stupid about football.
I disagree with you about what things are stupid and what's not. Special teams are not stupid.
Special teams are made overly complicated. It's not that it's stupid, but it's overly complicated. And you need talented people to play special teams at three positions. Snapper, kicker, actually two positions, snapper and kicker.
You don't even have a talented guy at punter?
Oh, yeah, punting. Yeah, you got, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, your field goal kicker, your punter, and your snapper all have to be really, really, really talented guys.
What about
guys.
Your holder?
Holders is medium talent. Medium talent.
Returners.
Wrong word for what you need. You need catchers of the football, not returners.
Okay.
So this is where the sport gets in the NFL, not in high school and not in college. Because punters in the NFL, there's only 32 of them that are playing actively. They're really, 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 really talented. And the vast majority. So how many Division I college football teams are out there, Chad?
Is it 120 plus somewhere around there?
Mm-hmm. So out of those 120 Division I colleges that have punters, and usually there's what, two punters a team?
Most college teams, yes,
have two punters, because sometimes the punters are so bad in college they will switch out punters in the middle of a game It happens frequently enough that you don't really know who punter number one is in college, correct?
I did Arizona spring game. That was actually a huge write-up going into the spring, how bad their punter was and how he cost them four games last year.
Right.
So they got a transfer from Cal they were all excited about.
The punter, right. Because it's hard to find great punters.
Apparently so.
But so let's just say, just for the sake of argument, there's 200 college punters. Not everybody's always eligible for the draft, so let's put it down to 80 of the 200 college punters are available. I mean, because most likely it's older guys who are punting in college. It's most likely not freshmen. It's probably a junior or senior who's punting. Would you go with me on that?
And more than likely, there are a bunch of 27-year-old Australian dudes.
Okay.
As time is going
on.
So
there's 80 guys every year in college who are available to punt.
Right.
How many of those guys actually make an NFL team as a punter? Two? Because you don't have
the opening day roster.
Make the opening roster because you don't have backup punters.
There's probably 8 new punters a year in the league.
But out of those 80, is that where they're coming from? Or are they just older punters that get back into the league somehow?
Is 8 new punters.
Right.
Yes, and whether they last the whole season.
But they're probably not even from. I'm talking about those 80 college punters that are available. Maybe one or two. Maybe one or two.
Okay.
All right? My point is, when you get to the NFL, you are facing punters you've never seen before, Chad.
Right.
Because the vast majority of punters you've seen in high school and college are terrible.
True.
So, like, Isaiah McKenzie. He looks unbelievable in Georgia. Why? Well, first of all, he's very fast. But second, he's catching punts from guys who stink. So he's catching, and if you stink as a punter, the punts are going down the middle of the field. The punts are at a lower trajectory. The punts are coming to you quicker. They don't have the same hang time. Am I more or less right on that?
Yes. You're out kicking your coverage. Everyone's expecting a directional kick to the left. You kick it to the right. Yes.
So you're Isaiah McKenzie. You're catching the ball with no traffic around you because not only is the punter terrible, but you got the, you know, the mediocre players on a team. Even D1 teams have D1 mediocre talent. It's certainly not who's covering kicks in the NFL, correct?
Right.
So if you're Isaiah McKenzie, hey, man, here we go. Every punt you catch at Georgia could be a touchdown. So if I'm a college coach, never mind a high school coach, but if I'm a college coach, we are returning every kick. I mean, we are being unbelievably aggressive in this department and also on kickoffs as well. Because same thing in terms of, like, you know, kickers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, forget it. I mean, they are so bad in terms of punting. And it's a miracle anything ever gets punted in high school. You know, the kickers and punters are so bad in high school, I'm amazed teams in high school don't go for it on fourth down every single time. Because who's punting in high school, Chad?
That kid you got from the soccer team.
Theoretically.
Yes.
But in Chassa, sometimes I don't know. Do they allow you to play two sports in the same season?
In California, we did. That's how we got our kickers from my high school team.
Well, that's smart. You were doing things the right way.
Yes.
Trust me, if my high school had a brain in their head, they would have been enabling Peter Mahalan, our goalie, who punted and was an all-conference goalie, could kick a soccer ball 70 yards in the air.
Snap.
Oh, no. Peter was unbelievable. D1 soccer player. He was incredible. And the football coach should have been begging him to come be the kicker for our football team. But no, we had some, like, total high school thing. It's like, you know, the best punter is like a linebacker or something like that, you know. Somehow that's the best option you have, and it's terrible. So in the pros in the NFL, and maybe, see, you seem to be going along with me on this. When you get to returning a punt, it's just a different world than high school and college, and that's why, to me, it is so much more about just catching the ball. And then I like what the new, and I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, the new special teams coach did. We talked to him, and I asked him about the value. And what he said is, Tom McMahon, I liked his answer. He said, essentially what we want to do is get a first down for the offense. I was like, my man, finally a special teams coach that makes sense about what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Our first job is to catch the ball, and then if we can really be successful, we want to get a first down for the offense. So the ultimate goal, what they're trying to get, is 10 yards on return. and go look up the numbers for average return in the NFL, Chad, and you'll see 10 yards would be decent.
10 yards is towards the top of the league, without a
doubt.
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah, so you're when the punt return team comes on the field, at the very least, when this play is over, we have to have possession of the ball.
That's right. Let's start there.
So that means our returner can't fumble it.
Right.
That also means we can't jump off sides.
Right.
And we can't rough the kicker. There's more bad things
that
happen.
We're about to get the ball.
The percentage of bad things that can happen on a punt return versus the percentage of you hitting a home run and getting a punt return for a touchdown.
Right.
The odds are against you.
So the concept that we drafted Isaiah McKenzie to return punts was one of the most idiotic draft decisions of all time. You don't draft punt returners. You draft great offensive athletes and weapons, Chad, and then somebody of those great athletes catches the football. And our best athlete we have to catch the football on punts this year is Emmanuel Sanders.
Is that the good thing you're going to say? Or is that coming up later?
I can meld it into what I was going to say. But there's a lot of pressure to return, and I understand from Sanders' point of view, you know, hey, man, this isn't why you pay me, because I'm about to get blown up here. And he's right.
When your conversation with your coach starts with, you know, hey, man.
Right.
As a coach, I've been on the part, though, as an intern coach, I've been on that end of those conversations. Whatever follows that is not going to help us as a team. It's all about your selfish individual thoughts.
Hey, I'm being nice with hey, man. Know, there may be another sort of address to the coach.
Hey, man, I was thinking. I was thinking, I don't want to get hurt, so why don't we do this, do it this way?
Hey, man, Jordan's much taller than me. I think he'd be, not to Emmanuel's credit, about to say some nice things here.
Uh-oh.
He got back there and practiced returning punts and got in the mix. Because when you want something dynamic to happen, you've got to give the ball to your best playmakers, and he's definitely one of the best playmakers. Also, I saw a video of Emmanuel the other day. First of all, he looks in great shape. Props to him. Dude likes to look good in the mirror. He's accomplished that. He's been staying relatively local. And he was coaching up some young guys the other day about work effort and things that you got to do to reach the next level. I believe him on that. Mm-hmm. He came from SMU. He was not a first-round draft choice. He has made himself into an extremely valuable multi-million dollar athlete. You know, he's done all these things. Part of the leadership qualities that he lacks, you know, what are you going to do? But just in terms of an athlete who has the right work ethic and ability to make big plays if he's given the right opportunity, he's got everything you'd want.
Yeah.
It's just not a great leader. It's just not his thing. You know, he thinks it's his thing, but it's not. It's just not who he really is.
It's wide receiver leadership, which means follow me.
Right.
Throw me the ball, I'll lead us.
But that being said, it's not his fault that the Broncos got into that situation. He's not the most well-liked guy by the coaches and by his fellow players, but there's no denying that he's got the work ethic to do the best for himself, which essentially would benefit the team. So if I wanted anybody to catch the football on a punt, it would be Emmanuel Sanders. You know why? Because he'd be smart about what to do in the situation. He's a smart football player. Emmanuel Sanders is not a dummy. Not a dummy at all. He's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
He understands the game. He understands the situation. He understands the value of what you're doing out there. That's why when you put the ball in the hands of Khalil Floyd, or what was his name? Caleb Floyd. I don't know. The guy who was a wrestler from Holy Cross.
Right.
I mess his name
Gordy
up.
Gordy Lockbaum?
Gordy Lockbaum. I remember Gordy. Played offense and defense.
He was going to win the Heisman Trophy.
He was going to win the Heisman Trophy.
From Holy Cross.
Ridiculous thing that would have been. What was his name? Not Floyd. Khalil? Ah. Anyways, Khalif Raymond. Thank you. Khalif Raymond is struggling to make the team, Chad. Mm-hmm. He's going to take all sorts of crazy chances you don't want him to take. Jordan Taylor was great. I hope he's back on the team, but I don't know. Isaiah McKenzie, first of all, Isaiah McKenzie's football IQ is like sub-zero. I mean, Isaiah McKenzie's football IQ was as low as anybody I've ever seen.
Very low awareness, correct.
Tremendous athlete. I'm sure he's great at track. But in terms of football,
spatial awareness, what to do with the ball, how to secure the ball, when's the right time to catch the ball. He made every returner mistake possible.
Brutal. And sometimes he just got away with stuff. Like, he shouldn't have caught the ball, but he managed to hang on to it. Never mind the six times that he actually dropped. The fact that he was allowed that much opportunity was just mind-boggling.
Mind-blowing.
Ridiculous. It was a sure sign that the Broncos did not understand what game they were playing. And that the Broncos really sat there thinking to themselves, oh, we need to have a big return when it's the first quarter. It's insane. It defies any kind of logic whatsoever. And people like to point out, oh, we wouldn't even won that playoff game without Trindon Holiday, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Trindon Holiday was a nightmare, too. But he gave you a couple of chances. Big deal.
Stop getting dudes with short arms. They can't hold the football.
No kidding. I would see the football. It'd be as big as their torso.
Right.
Dude, let me just tell you this. If you're shorter than me, you better be unbelievable in the NFL.
Terrence Sproles. And that's about it. Danny Whitehead.
Danny Whitehead is shorter than me. Philip Lindsay's shorter than me.
Woodhead, sorry.
I couldn't believe when I met Danny Woodhead for the first time.
He's tiny.
It was ridiculous. Whatever they're saying his real height is, they're lying. He is definitely not 5'8".
He's 5'6"-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5'8". Yeah, right. Trindon Holiday, I should not be... Would you trust me on a football field? I mean, are you nuts? You'd be insane. Why would you ever give me a football in a football game?
Because, yeah, you can't hold it.
No, I can't hold it. The ball's big.
No, you can't hold it at all.
I think people out there don't realize how big an NFL football actually is. It's actually pretty large.
And they're quite round. No, I'm not trying to be double entendre here at all. Just the difference between a college football and an NFL football is significant. NFL football is much rounder.
We should never, ever, ever have a rookie returning a punt. Ever.
I will.
Ever. The best punt returners we ever had were like Eric Decker, Jim Leonard, Emmanuel Sanders, dudes that were just pros that knew how to catch a football, and if they can stumble forward for 8 or 9 yards, awesome. That's it. And the fact that we didn't even understand that as an organization last year, and our personnel department drafted somebody to have that job without any kind of competition whatsoever, like we just thought that was a good idea, was insanity.
To award the job to a rookie in the offseason.
It was insane.
I can't.
Cost us games. Cost us games for sure.
Coaching 101. I'll leave it at that.
So if you want to be better, you have to understand the game you're playing. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Yeah, I get it, you're an outcast. Always under attack, always coming in last. Bring it up the pass, no one owes you anything. You need a shotgun blast, a kick in the ass, so paranoid. Watch your back!
Woo! Yeah! Home Run Derby tonight on The Fan, so nothing is more exciting than hearing swing, and it's gone! John, you're on The Fan. Hi, John.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You were talking about the CHAPA rules. I don't know if it's changed in the last 10 years, but you used to have to do 10 practices before you're allowed to compete in a game.
That still exists, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the same in, I believe, all the sports.
Yeah, so the way that our coach got around that was the soccer team practiced right next to us. And so the guy would jog over and put on a 4X helmet on his tiny little pencil head
yeah.
For half an hour a day, and that counted as a practice.
That's awesome.
And then the first game of the season, we had a botched snap. They pitched it to the kicker, and he stood there. And, dude, you want to talk about a defenseless receiver?
Yeah.
I thought I watched an execution that day.
Yeah, at least you had a good kicker, right?
Yeah, he was good when he actually got to kick the ball.
I mean, were there any players on the football team who were better at kicking than him?
Oh, God, no. It was horrifying. Pretty much he did an onside kick if he wasn't there.
Sounds good. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Good, smart coach. I joked around, if I was coaching high school baseball, I would find the fastest kid in the school.
Track team. Uh-huh.
And I would absolutely allow him to, you know, do track. And then I would give him a uniform, and he would be my pinch runner. And he would just be there for one job, and one job only is the steal bases. I wouldn't even give him a glove or a bat. I would never make him do anything but sprint. So that would be it. I'd teach him the rules of baseball a little bit. And just hope the fastest kid, you know, would be my number one pinch runner.
Smart.
Yeah, because you can pinch run in high school for your pitcher and catcher. You're allowed to, you know, make these stupid substitutes. You shouldn't be allowed to. They allow you to substitute run for your catcher to, like, theoretically speed up the game so he can put his gear on so he can get back out there. It's really dumb. They should not allow you to do it. But they do. There's a dumb rule, so there must be a dumb way around it. So I would just say, yeah, I'd probably get two. I'd probably get the two fastest kids. I'd say, hey, you're going to be a varsity athlete in baseball. It's going to be awesome. You're never going to have to practice with us. And just show up for games, and you're my two pinch runners.
Okay, I'd do the same thing if I was a football coach.
And then if any of the kids on the baseball team had a problem with it, I'd say, okay, as soon as you can outrun, you know, Timmy and Jimmy, you know, then I'll, you know, I'll withdraw the offer.
It'd probably be Daquan and DeAndre.
Ah, see, you had to go there. Let's go with Charlie. You're right, but yes, Charlie, you're on the
What's
fan.
Up, Charlie?
Hey, Chub.
Chub.
Hey, love your program. Way to go, Chad. Way to go, D-Mac. Hank.
Thank you, Charlie.
I had a question, and I know, D-Mac, you know your music because I listen to you often, and... The Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and Buddy Holly, yeah. I had a question about when they last played, because I grew up in Iowa, and they last played at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, before their plane went down.
Well, you don't really have a question about it. You're just trying to show off. So,
no,
I mean, it's kind
I'm
of
not.
Two different things.
You brought up either North Dakota or South Dakota when their plane went
down. You know, Charlie, you know, a priest, a rabbi, and a monk walk into a bar. What color was the wallpaper? It really doesn't matter, Charlie, you know. But thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Get your facts straight.
I didn't get that one in music appreciation class.
I have to deal this with my teenage kids all the time. It's, you know, it's like, you understood what I was talking about. No, Dad. It's really, it's a 3, not a 4. It's, or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like, you know. It's different when my mom, you know, would call me and say, you know, how many innings is the Super Bowl? I don't know, Mom. I don't know. How many innings is the Super Bowl?
That's just sick.
Is it 30 love yet?
All right. Oh, I tried to explain tennis the other day to my kid because Wimbledon was on. It's just... It's hopeless. It doesn't seem that complicated, but he could not get it. He was like, why doesn't it go 15, 30, 45? Like, why does it go to 40? Which actually kind of made logical sense when you think about it.
It totally makes sense.
I actually don't know the answer to that one. If it goes 15 for 1 point,
right.
Why doesn't it, and it goes 30 to 0.2, shouldn't it go 45 to 0.3?
It should.
Why does it go to 40?
40 love.
And I was
know.
Trying to explain ad court and, I don't know.
Tiebreakers.
Tiebreakers were a little difficult. And the concept of winning by two. And then when you go to tiebreakers, all of a sudden it's not 15, 30, 40. It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
Which makes you say, well, why don't you just do 1, 2, 3, 4?
And that's 60, that? I'm sorry, 6 hour and 36 minute match. It was like 61 to 59.
Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. See, it wasn't, but I'm not going to spend the time to correct you on the score because you're close enough.
What was it?
I don't know. It's like 24-22.
No,
but when
wasn't.
You say it was.
It went for like 6 hours.
Right. Do you not know how it works? Do you not know how tennis works?
I do know how tennis works.
I don't know if you do because there's never been a game that's like 61 or 71 to 69.
It was 61 to 59.
It was not.
I looked at it the other day when we were talking
about it. You can look it up again.
Whatever.
No, now it matters.
Because it's 26-24.
Right, 26-24.
All right, whatever.
I was willing to let you get away with that. That's why when it's a warm day, I say it's 117 degrees. It's not really 117 degrees. But no, you had to be Chad Brown and insist that it was 71 to 69.
It was actually 70 to 68 for the longest Wimbledon match back in 2010.
That's where I got that.
I really want to like strangle you right now, Brian.
Because Eisner was in both. The one the other day and the one back in 2010. And they talked about in the article the
other
day.
Should I just let him call him Eisner and just be done with it? Or should I correct him on that too? Okay, Eisner, sure.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
Home Run Derby's coming up. This is what Hal wants to have to end extra inning games. Home Run Derby. Plus, we'll hear Case Keenum being insulted by a reporter because she doesn't know his name either. All sorts of great stuff happening in the middle of July right here on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Derby. Room for Bryce Harper.
Do you have a
crush on Bryce Harper?
Home Run Derby moment?
I've enjoyed a lot of them, you know. I think Josh Hamilton was unbelievable at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
I think watching Stanton and Judge battle it out was kind of fun.
61 home runs at Petco Park in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, I'm these guys are awesome. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I've who doesn't want to, you know, hit home runs? Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to be able to do that?
Only Tony Gwynn and Rod Carew, I can think of.
Bet Tony's hit a few. Bet he could hit more if he wanted to.
Yeah, I think he had the skill set.
Yeah, it's fun. It's not. Listen, man, if you can take BP and you just smash the ball out of the park, that's pretty awesome. This is basically advanced BP. But that's not what baseball is all about. It's thank God. You know, that's why Al's idea of making this the tiebreaker is absurdly horrendous.
Back, it's gone. In Al's scenario,
yeah,
who pitches?
Right, it falls apart quickly.
This home run derby.
I'm not even going to defend the idea because it's so
tiebreaker
dumb.
Scenario.
I can't. I'm not even going to go there.
You
want to point out flaws? That's one. Keep going.
That's perhaps the hugest flaw. Well, I suppose it's dumb on its face.
It's so dumb.
From a practical implementation standpoint, who pitches the home run derby tiebreaker?
Right. Because they're not trying to strike you out.
Right.
They're just throwing you, lobbing you, you know. Do you get limited amount of pitches? Do you only get like 10 pitches?
Does your batting coach literally come out of the dugout and pitch to you?
If it's not a strike, does it count? Like, can you let one go? Can you pass on one? Is it, you know, do we get a machine out there?
Right.
So it's the same for each guy? Get a pitching machine out there? That would probably make the most sense, right?
Rolling a machine out
so
there.
So here we go. I'm holding the ball up, putting it in the machine. It's going to go the same place at the same mile per hour for both batters. Okay, we're having this stupid conversation, so I'll just say you would have to have a pitching machine to make it fair because you can't rely on the pitching coach or the batting coach. I don't know who would be throwing the ball to you. You'd have to make it level. It's such a dumb idea. I can't even believe I'm even having this argument.
Wait. It's like the technical fouls in basketball where the guy with the most home runs comes up at the end to compete for the tiebreaker?
I don't know. Do you choose somebody? Do you choose three people? Do you get three balls each off a machine?
It never got fleshed out, huh? You never gave this idea the respect.
Never mind. The parks are different sizes everywhere you go. What are we talking about here? Are we going to have retired dudes who are just fat, who can just yak, you know, home runs left and right? Is the John Kruk of the world going to come out of retirement? Are we going to have, like, there are dudes.
Who travel the country doing home run softball things,
yes.
Right?
Yes. We're going to just, you know, can't hit a baseball. But if you threw a base, if you threw a baseball 40 miles an hour, I suppose, you know, King Kong Bundy, who goes on the softball circuit, who can yak a softball 500 feet, I suppose you sign him up, right? Because he's going to be your home run hitter.
Yeah.
Do you expand your rosters by one or two so you can have that guy?
What's his nickname? Big Bun?
Tony. No, it's a dumb idea. But once a year to watch these guys who put on, and I was lucky enough, see, I didn't realize how Bonds and McGuire and Sosa were cheating. They were really cheating. But it was fun to go to batting practice when those guys were here at Coors Field to watch that.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed doing it. I mean, watching Barry Bonds take batting practice was really cool. But he's a huge cheater. Now he's in a spin class. No joke. You would not even recognize. You'd recognize Barry Bonds easier than you'd recognize Sammy Sosa, who's now white. But did you see the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Oh, yeah.
Where are they now?
I actually have it in the car because I haven't finished
what'd
reading
it. What did you think of? Oh, have you read it? It's no, fascinating.
I read the story about Sammy Sosa. I haven't got to the Tony Hawk story, which is the bigger one of where are they now. That's why I got it in the car.
No, okay. I won't spoil it for you. Well, what'd you think about the Sammy? I mean, it's beyond bizarre.
The whole thing's
bizarre. Can you believe he would do a cover shoot for that episode of that magazine?
The skin lightning, living in Dubai, the fact that you kind of reach out to the Cubs and they kind of reach out to you, but you guys can't come together and celebrate what really was an epic moment in baseball history. It's kind of sad all around.
Yeah, but not only was Sammy Sosa like on steroids, which he was, but he had cork bats.
Yes.
I mean,
hey.
I don't know. Anyways, none of these guys are cheating. They're just freaking yoked, and I love watching it. Oh, Johnny's rolling his eyes. We think these guys are cheating?
Oh! Time to talk about on Facebook Live coming up shortly.
We'll be there. Home Run Derby's next. Hey, Strawberry Man, Big Sexy, Chad. You know, this is The Drive on The Fan.
Big Tony!
Tony!